Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. April's theme is something springy and something spiritual. And today's topic is about the power of dressing with intentions. My guest is Ivana Maggiore, the founder and president of Fashion Feng Shui International. She and I will be discussing the application of feng shui philosophy and principles to your personal appearance to achieve a happier, healthier, and a more prosperous existence. Good morning, Ivana. Welcome
Hi,
to From
morning.
My Mama's Kitchen to Radio.
Thank you, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I am excited on having you on, and I've always been a follower of feng shui, so to speak, not necessarily a major practitioner of feng shui, but I've always believed in certain philosophies of object placement and everything else, so I'm very, very excited about hearing your approach in terms of applying it to our everyday wardrobes. But before we get started with that, let us talk about your life's journey from childhood to the present moment, which I'm sure is very, very exciting.
Well, I love this question, and I do feel that I have been on a journey, and that what I am doing now with my work in fashion feng shui and with helping people live, you know, more authentic and lives, that it's the culmination of my, you know, learning experience. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, in a working class neighborhood of Boston called Roslindale. Mm-hmm. And my father was a taxi driver. My mother worked for my aunt's catering service. And my brother and my sister were 12 and 14 years older than I. And by the time I was in elementary school, they were really out of the house. And mm-hmm. so I grew up as an only child, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And with two working parents, I spent a lot of time alone after school. Mm-hmm. And so what I would do to entertain myself would be to set up my dolls or my paper dolls and spend hours imagining a life that I wanted to lead. And so I'd interact with movie stars, I'd travel all over the world, I'd drive beautiful cars, I lived in mansions, and it was just my way of entertaining myself. Mm-hmm. And now as I look back, I live a life very close to what I had imagined as a child, living on the third floor walk-up on a three-decker building in a working-class neighborhood of Boston. And it just really arrived without me having to be very assertive or very ambitious mm-hmm. or very competitive. And so as a young child, early on, I learned how to visualize and how to really connect to creative visualization without even knowing it. And that has served me very well in my life. So understanding the power of attraction, knowing how mm-hmm. to live in abundance, these are all pieces I learned at a young age from my parents mm-hmm. and from the way that I grew up.
Interesting. Were you close to your mom in terms of, being that, I guess you're the baby of the family, so to speak?
Well, I was closer to my father uh-huh. as a young child, uh-huh. and my mother and I, during those teenage years, we were a little bit competitive with each other. Uh-huh. She was probably more the disciplinarian than my father, so that's why it was a little easier for me. But yeah. as I grew older, especially after my father became ill and passed away, my mother and I became very, very close. And mm-hmm. so I really did get to enjoy that mother-daughter relationship, and she mm-hmm. had a very close relationship with my own daughter when she was young. So yes, from that perspective, we did become very close, although early on it wasn't quite as close as it should have been.
Sounds like, you know, you have developed that sort of creativity as a child. Is this sort of a natural thing? I mean, were you more into the arts, so to speak, when you were going to school and versus, you know, like the sciences?
Well, yes, and when I was younger, I was actually quite an artist. I won mm-hmm. a scholarship to the Museum of Fine Arts School, which mm-hmm. Here in Boston, it was a school that high school students could go to, and I turned it down because
oh, wow.
I didn't see myself as worthy And so it was, and I had other things on my mind when I was a teenager, and so I didn't pursue that, and I began to lose my creativity. So from the time I would say I was in high school to, well, but till I was about 30 years old, I was not being very creative, and I would have astrology readings, and they would tell me how creative I was, and I just couldn't see it in myself. And then it started to evolve, and it started to come out again. As I became more in touch with my spiritual self, which I had lost for a while, I really began to discover my creativity, and to me that's just really the source of it all, connecting to your soul, connecting to your creativity.
Very, very, very interesting here. How did you, what interests you about the ancient art of object placement? I mean, like feng shui, because it's sort of like, you know, of course it's Eastern philosophy, and obviously, you know, it's something different. It's not many people that sort of get themselves involved with something like that.
Right, and this was, and I became involved with feng shui, oh my gosh, 1996 was when I first, 1996? Yes, 1996 I first discovered it, which was really early on, especially for people living in the northeast of the United States. California, you know, it had already started trickling in, but where I lived, no one knew what the heck this was, but feng shui really came to me. I didn't go searching for it, and I tend to attract things like that a lot, and how it came to me was that I was really interested in personal energy. That's how I began my journey, and if you know my biography, I used to own a chain of women's clothing stores in the Boston area in New England, and it was through this work that I became really entranced with human beings and the spirit of human beings. So it wasn't so much the clothing that attracted me to what I did as a profession. It was working with people and understanding how they made their most fulfilling choices and how, you know, they would look great. And so I was just fascinated by people. So I began a study of personal energy, thinking, how can I understand these people better? And so between studying all of the personality typing methods, such as the Enneagram, if you're familiar with that, Myers-Briggs typing, astrology, Western and Eastern, eventually feng shui presented itself to me because I heard this word, this unfamiliar word, three times. And I always live my life by if something, you know, if I hear something three times, it means the universe is trying to catch my attention. Have you heard about that? Do you ever follow that
theory? I mean, it repeats itself and keep on, hello, hey.
Exactly. So that happens to me a lot. And so I said, well, this sounds interesting. Maybe I should look into this feng shui thing. And I asked a friend of mine who was working at a bookstore to please bring me a book on feng shui. And she said, well, I've never heard of that. And I said, well, just see if there's anything in your stacks. And there were two books, two feng shui books happened to be in this store. And this was on Cape Cod in 1996, which, again, was unusual that this store would even have feng shui books. And one was really big and one was small. So she chose the smaller one for me, and she brought it back. And she said, here, this looked, you know, just the right size, and maybe you can get an idea of what this is all about. And it happened to be The Western Guide to Feng Shui by Tara Catherine Collins. And I was so enthralled with this book. I carried it everywhere that summer. I underlined every word in red, and I fell in love with the five elements, which the five elements of feng shui are really the foundation of traditional Chinese medicine.
That's right.
And it was from that study of the five elements and seeing how it applied to everything in life that I began to get the idea of studying feng shui professionally myself. And I went to study with Tara Catherine Collins, and I was in her first class, as a matter of fact, her inaugural training class, and graduated from there and saw that I could apply everything I learned as a feng shui practitioner to my work with human beings. And that's really how they that connection came around, that I started to filter the work that I did as a professional image consultant and wardrobe consultant through the eyes of feng shui, and everything just lined up, Johnny. It was like it was created that way. Mm-hmm. And so it brought me to such a deeper understanding of people, and out of that evolved this concept, which is called fashion feng shui.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. And for those who wants to know about the five elements of feng shui, they're wood, fire, earth, metal, and water.
Yes.
The basic elements of earth, basically, and it's how you integrate all these different elements to optimize the energy within oneself and, of course, the environment that we live, so to speak. So that brings us to what is fashion feng shui.
Right. So what fashion feng shui is, as I said, it evolved from me looking at what I did as a wardrobe consultant and image consultant through these elements and through the basic philosophy of feng shui, which, in the Western School of Feng Shui, we're taught that everything is alive, meaning that everything has energy, whether it's, animate or not animate. And I always was connected to that. I truly believe that. Everything is connected, that there are invisible threads of energy that connect us to everything and everyone in the world. And that was also a concept that I was very familiar with. Mm-hmm. And that everything changes, and that the order of the universe is change. And so these three kind of basic philosophies and principles of feng shui, I applied to my work with people and saw that there was such a huge connection. And then I looked at everything through the eyes of the five elements, which really what they stand for, each of these elements, each of these nature words, really stands for a quality of energy, the type of energy that is attached to this particular element. That's that unseen, what we call qi in feng shui, and how we see it in the physical world. And that's the seen energy part. In fact, feng shui really means wind and water, which has to do with the unseen and the seen energy. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I looked at it through the perspective of color, shape, and substance, and also physical appearance and personality, and was able to create a system called fashion feng shui that just classified the energy of people, physical and otherwise, into these five categories. And that's what we do. We make choices of how people's energy come together. How do they look? How do they behave? What do they want? That's the intention part. And then we can choose clothing design elements, that color, shape, and substance, that supports a particular personal energy. So it sounds complicated, but it's really quite simple. Years ago, there used to be a little children's clothing company called Garanimals. Mm-hmm. And their process was that they had hang tags on each of the little pieces of clothing that had different kinds of animals. And the child could dress themselves because they could go and match the tiger bottom with the tiger top and the elephant top with the elephant bottom, and they'd know that it would match. And so fashion feng shui is rather similar. We're just matching energy to energy, element to element, and really creating something that's very powerful, not only in the sense that it's authentic to who this person is, it's empowering in that embodies all of their physical energies, and in the end, it just makes them look good. So we don't start with dressing someone to make them look good.
Right.
That's a result of understanding how to make authentic and empowering choices that support who you are and what you want.
Do you, I guess this goes to the inspiration behind fashion feng shui in terms of you, when you look at a person, you obviously have to do sort of an analysis, so to speak, on their base colors or their base energy, so to speak, wouldn't it be?
Right, and the difference between, this is kind of jumping a little forward, but the difference between what we do in fashion feng shui and what I had traditionally been doing as someone who dressed people was that the client or the consumer gets to make the choices. They see how this system is put together, and then through the process, through the consultation process, the individual really identifies themselves according to these particular, what we call archetypes that represent each of the five elements in the human form. So instead of me telling someone, oh, you should wear this, 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 and this, and you are this, this, and this, as we did in the old days, and putting people into these little narrow boxes and saying you have to stay there, fashion feng shui really is a system of empowering choices which the individual recognizes the energies in themselves according to how the system is laid out. And, and it's really laid out exactly like traditional Chinese medicine, in that each of the archetypes has particular classifications of energies that are assigned to it. If you've ever had acupuncture, you've had traditional Chinese medicine, and, and your acupuncturist has probably said, oh, you have a wood imbalance, or you need a little more earth here, or we're going to open this channel up to get some more fire.
Right.
It's very similar.
Well, what inspired you to create fashion feng shui?
Well, it was really that interest in understanding how people made their choices. I would work with customers in my clothing stores or later on clients, you know, through my personal consulting business. And we would make them over, and we would be able to choose everything that really looked great on them. And then they'd show up maybe in my store, or I might bump into them somewhere else, or they might come back for additional help. And they had lost that. They didn't know why they had made a choice. So I started, my quest was really to understand how people made choices that would stick with them. And so it was understanding the energy part of a human being that really brought me, inspired me to search for what became fashion feng shui.
Very, very interesting. And your background, I presume, you know, with the fact that you've always been involved with fashion and so forth, that helps to qualify you, I guess, in some ways to do so.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I have to say that I do have my accreditations both on the fashion side and on the feng shui side. And it's been really my years of experience working with the system. As I said, I wrote my first book in 1998, which was really this tiny little typo-ridden, almost like a handbook, you know, just that I just had to get this information out. And I brought it to a conference. I was speaking at a conference really talking about feng shui and creating your office. And at the very end I said, you know, I'd like to share my theory with you. I wrote this little book, and it just really took off from there. The book sold out immediately. I had 100 copies with me. They were gone by the time I left the conference, and all of a sudden people started asking about it. And I saw that there was really an interest and a need for this information.
You finally found a calling.
I did. But, you know, I had worked with clothing with people for so long, but I didn't have my purpose. And when I connected to really being able to understand people and dress them from a different perspective, I knew that I had connected to my life purpose, and I truly see that I'm on a mission. My personal mission is to restore that sacredness and serenity to getting dressed. That has always been. In ancient times, it really was a ritual to get dressed. Clothes had meaning. Clothes had purpose. They had, you know, the separated status. They identified intention, going back even to the Mayan culture. And so it really does trickle into fashion feng shui.
Very interesting. This is something, again, it's not necessarily with the Western culture here, but this is, I just want to share something about the Eastern philosophy, Eastern culture, which is quite interesting. When someone is born, and this is what I was told anyway, and it's practiced in many, many ways. I mean, I guess, again, when you talk about feng shui, you talk about elements, earth, and those kind of things, and principles of energy, because that's what it's all about. It's matter and energy is the same thing. It cannot be created nor destroyed, but it's just transferred or changed in form, so to speak. But anyway, when it comes to children, you know, the Western culture, you're allowed to name your kids, you know, like Johnny Tan, the first, second, third. Of course, Johnny Tan will be the first, and then you got the second, third, fourth, fifth, and whatnot, and so ever. Whereas in Asia, the Eastern philosophy, you'd never do that because you want to create something that's new and different for that person, because it's totally new energy and everything else, and mm-hmm. you know, you can get technical about the fact that, oh, well, you know, it's got the DNA and this and all that kind of stuff, but technically speaking, you are giving a clean slate, so mm-hmm. to speak. And in the course of doing that, I remembered my mom telling me that they have apparently all this sage that they go through, and depending on the time when you're born and everything else, as you were talking about earlier in the show about how you check astrology and everything else, and they were able to pinpoint a person being lack of one of the elements or weak
yes.
in certain of elements. And so by definition, then you will have that weakness be complemented in the names.
Oh, okay. So the name would bring the energy in that would
yes.
would offset the weakness in
yes.
the birth
yes.
time.
That's correct.
And that makes sense to me.
Yeah. So which was quite interesting. So it's just not arbitrarily, you know, of course, now you're here, you know, people are more into the Western culture. Well, in my case, you know, people ask me, you know, is Johnny your real name? And I have to explain it there. I said, well, in all actuality, it is, because my mom called me Johnny since I was born. I mean, shortly after I was born, because she didn't want my grandfather calling me what's equivalent to bald-headed.
Bald-headed?
Yeah, you know, because as a kid, you don't have much hair or anything like that. But you know how they would give a nickname, so to speak?
Yes.
And so basically, you know, you don't want to have your child be called Baldy, you know, a nickname. You know how nicknames will stick with you forever. And so my mom's neighbor would come over and say, you know, I call my son Tony. Why don't you call your son Johnny? That took care of that problem, so to speak. And so in all actuality, so that's how I got my name, Johnny. But my Chinese name is Hok Chai, and so what it means is that a Fu Chai, so what it means is luck and wealth. Now, I'm not wealthy. I may have a little good luck, but technically speaking, but it's quite interesting on how names being tied into the feng shui realm of things. So having said that, then you have the situation where, in the natural, where you mentioned something just now about you having someone, they naturally gravitate towards wearing black. They don't know why, mm-hmm. but they just love black, or they naturally love yellow, mm-hmm. and so forth. So I'm sure you've encountered that, and so you have to kind of work around it. So having said that, how does feng shui work with those kind of situations?
Well, you know, a lot of people think that color plays a huge piece in fashion mm-hmm. feng shui, but in fact it plays a very little piece. And mm-hmm. what fashion feng shui really focuses on is the energy that's inherent in color, mm-hmm. pattern, fabric, texture, substances of fabrics. Mm-hmm. And so color plays a role, mm-hmm. but very importantly, texture in the hand of a fabric and what's in a fabric plays an important part in mm-hmm. fashion feng shui. So someone who may be gravitating to a particular color, mm-hmm. and lots of times we've noticed that color may represent an energy that is they either need more of in their life or mm-hmm. represents their goals. Mm-hmm. We can usually find some kind of connection, or that is representative of how they're feeling about themselves right now. And but that can also work with if you all of a sudden have all these cozy little, you know, tweedy-looking hand-woven types of hand-knit clothes would represent the same energy that the color yellow and brown would represent. Or possibly if you had very shiny, sensual, to-the-touch clothes, they would represent similar energy to what the color red would represent. So there's so many different ways to look at it beyond color. Mm-hmm. But yes, there is a relationship between the choices that we make mm-hmm. And how we're feeling about ourselves and also what we'd like to attract into our lives. And so those are two things that we really address in fashion feng shui. I was taught as a feng shui practitioner, mm-hmm. You know, basically, you know, what we think is what we attract. And
right.
I pretty much knew that anyway as a learning philosophy growing up. And so, you know, we can really extend that into, you know, what we wear because we're placing energy. I see clothes as being our body's most intimate environment. It's the next mm-hmm. thing to us beside our skin, and our skin is our body's largest sensory organ. Right. So it just makes sense that the energies inherent in all of the colors and the fabrics and the patterns and the textures mm-hmm. of the clothing that we wear would somehow affect us from that perspective. Mm-hmm. It also affects the energy that we are transmitting to others because people perceive the energy whether they know it or not. And so just what we wear, again, will affect what other people think of us and how they interact with us, what the quality of the interaction will be. So it can work both ways. We can really adjust clothing to ourselves, and we can adjust clothing to the environs in which we find ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very interesting. I'm still fascinated by it, and it's been 14 years.
And it sounds like it's limitless because
there's
different combinations, because not only you are, one is dressing ourselves, which is energy from within.
Right.
And then obviously as you go to a function or a situation or for the day or whatever, then you are exposed to the elements of the outside, of the surrounding, mm-hmm. which you really don't have much of a control of.
Right.
And the person you encounter, they obviously will have their own realm of quote-unquote, you know, sort of energy, so to speak. And so it's quite fascinating on how, well, what we do in, I guess, in a nutshell from what I can understand from your perspective is that we control our circle, our aura of energy on what we're putting out there.
Absolutely, and I think control is a really important word to consider, because I always say that when you take control of your own personal environs, and that has to do with your clothing, the way you live, how you work, you're really taking control of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so what fashion feng shui is, it's just an additional resource for people to live more mindful and aware mm-hmm. lives. And when we live mindful and aware lives, research has shown that we can just transcend so many limitations. So just understanding how to become more mindful, how to become more aware, not to just be living life by rote.
Mm-hmm.
That's the message that we deliver in Fashion Feng Shui. We're using your clothing as a tool for transformation. It's something you do every day, or most people do. 99% of the world's population does this every day. They get dressed. And
right.
a large percentage of that population gets dressed without being aware of what they're putting on their bodies. They either think it's not important, or they just don't see the value in it, so they're just, you know, grabbing whatever, whatever's clean, whatever doesn't need to be ironed,
mm-hmm.
and not giving it the credit that is due it, because clothes are very powerful because they're little tiny pieces of energy. They're made up of lots of different energies, and that energy does affect us in the world around us. So it's energy that fascinates me. That's really what connects me to the work that I do.
So I presume that anybody can benefit from fashion feng shui?
Everyone can benefit, yes, because, as I said, everyone can benefit from living a more mindful and aware
mm-hmm.
life, and
mm-hmm.
this is a process to be able to support that. It's not the one and only thing that you can do to live a mindful and aware life, but it certainly is something that you do every day. And
right.
so, you know, I've had men study with me. Of course, my clientele is 98 to 95% women.
Mm-hmm.
But the men who come and either work, are in workshops or who have consultations, mm-hmm. they are fascinated because men like things very simple and straightforward. And fashion feng shui really is simple and straightforward. And I've actually worked with younger teens. I haven't worked with young children, but I know one of my facilitators, we do have, you know, over 100 facilitators located worldwide,
yeah.
does specialize in children. She even specializes in color for children because her mission is to support children as they grow up and to give
right.
them the tools
right.
That they can use now to become
right.
really more empowered adults.
Right, right. Well, there's a fine line here too, because would it be different when you shape it from the very beginning, the very young? Would that influence how they would do in school and so forth? And you know, at the very
young
time.
Oh, I think so.
and versus, you know, being much older, and then of course that the concept of it's never too late applies for those who think they missed the boat, because you never actually missed the boat.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because
so,
every day is a new day.
That's right. So from that perspective, I think it's a living concept rather than something that, well, I missed my chance, so to speak. Well, what makes fashion feng shui different than the other personal design systems?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, it really is a system of an individual making empowering choices as opposed to someone telling them what they should be doing. You know, that's that should word is not really welcome. Should and must are not welcome in fashion feng shui. We really place our faith in our clients that they're going to know themselves and they're going to be able to identify themselves. And the reason we call ourselves facilitators is because that's exactly what we do. We facilitate the client moving through this material, and it's like a coaching session. There's a lot of coaching involved in the skills that we teach our facilitators, because we learn to listen easily. And sometimes it's a matter of going through layers to get to the information that is really going to be the most empowering for them. So it's an interesting process. But I think that's what makes us different. It starts really from spirit and moves on out to what I call surroundings.
Does it integrate very well with other systems?
It integrates beautifully with other systems because it doesn't replace anything. And so I have people who come and they've studied various coaching systems, personal design systems, feng shui, you know, different schools of feng shui, and they will come and move through the training, and it gives them a deeper perspective on what they're teaching with their other systems, because it's really all just based on five-element theory and looking at the world, you know, through these five-element glasses, so to speak.
And I know you. You know, you have. I guess obviously you have facilitators all over the world. Where has this been received very, very well? I presume obviously the United States is certainly your home base.
Well, that's, you know, where it started, and so of course that was the first wave, so to speak.
Right.
But you know, it really has expanded all over the world, you know, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I do credit the Internet for bringing attention to this concept. It certainly extends into places that I never would have been able to extend. We have facilitators in New Zealand, in Australia, in Asia, throughout Asia, and over into Europe. I'm actually heading for London on Saturday to teach a training program over there. And in this training program, there's people coming from Finland, Romania, Czech Republic, Italy. So it's a concept that it doesn't matter what the culture is or who the people are. I think people recognize the basic value of it. It's a generic concept that can be applied to any culture, to any sex, to any age, and I think that's what is making it so popular right now. So, and we're in Canada and Mexico, so just can pretty much locate a facilitator in almost every area of the world.
And what draws them, though? I mean, is it something that are they looking for something different to apply within themselves?
What draws them? Did you say?
Yeah.
I think what draws them, and this we're talking about our training program primarily,
yes,
which is the Fashion Feng Shui Facilitator Professional Certification Training Program, which it's actually celebrated its 10th year last year. And what draws people to Fashion Feng Shui for a professional level is that it's a system that's very innovative. It's very meaningful, and in today's society, people really are searching for meaningful ways to do things. And it's a way for to expand a business? So I would say you can initiate, expand, or innovate your business with mm-hmm. with the teachings that we do in our program. And so we'll attract people who are image consultants who work in the fashion and beauty industry who want to work in a more meaningful, holistic way. We'll attract feng shui practitioners who would like to expand their businesses to apply feng shui principles to personal appearance so they can just do a whole person approach with their feng shui. We attract life coaches who understand, life coaches work with their clients at a very spiritual level, so they understand that everything this individual does is going to affect their progress, so they like to teach them how to get dressed, you know, and to support the transitions that they're making. And then a new group that's coming in, who's been showing up for the last couple of years, which I love, are really holistic lifestyle management professionals, I like to call them. And a lot of these people are coming out of the nursing field. They're holistic nurses who are now moving in and helping people live their lives in a whole way. So they're just bringing in their nutrition, they're bringing in their health care, they're bringing in all sorts of different ways. So I call them lifestyle management professionals. And that seems to be our huge trend right now with the work that I'm doing, that people are really coming through and then taking this and adding this as a piece to their existing businesses. So we're not just this separate brand that you are this and you're only this. Great into someone's business, and that's what makes, again, this type of training a little bit different than some others that are out there.
Well, it's a part of the puzzle of that entire, living, the totality of holistic living, wellness management program that you were talking about. Is there any special? Are there special individuals that they need to be? How do you qualify them? I guess would be the best way.
How
to
do
be
I
asked.
Qualify
yeah.
those who take
various
my training?
Facilitators, yeah.
Well, you know, they apply. It's the training is by application, and actually, it's not that I qualify them. The universe qualifies them because I live my life and I run my business by the law of attraction.
Sure.
And so people show up who are ready for this kind of work. I do feel that it is a gift to be able to bring. You know, we're working with people's energy. It's very serious. This is not for people who want to come in and make people look pretty. We are transforming people's lives and their looks. They just happen to transform their looks. We're working with their looks to transform their lives. It's really feng shui put out in a little different way.
Right.
And so the people that I do attract, I'd like to say, you know, mirror my personal values, mirror my interests, mirror the goals that I have. And fortunately, it's been working quite well. We always have these amazing people in our classes. I'm really excited about next week because the people are so interesting that are coming. So I really have never had to turn anyone down because everyone who does show up is ready to go, ready to share this message.
Right. You're not seeking them. Basically, they're seeking you to learn something new.
Right.
So it's a big difference.
Yeah. It's, and I do feel that it's really important if someone is coming to the training that they're ready for this. It's serious training. It's profound work. It's not fluffy by any means, and people that are attracted to it usually know that.
And how long does the training program last?
Well, we spend 3 days together in a classroom, but the training really is ongoing. They become part of our fashion feng shui community. We have monthly teleclasses, and we're just really connected all, you know, a couple of times a month. And so it's, I would say it's at least a year, but they're ready to practice when they leave me.
Right.
And because they're practicing under, you know, with personal coaching, and they're really under our auspices and connected, and that makes a difference too.
Fantastic. You had mentioned on your website the 5 ageless wardrobe wisdom. What are those?
Okay. I saw that on a list and went, oh, I hope I remember these. Actually, the 5 ageless wardrobe wisdoms, I believe I took from referring to what our what we teach in fashion feng shui and how we approach a consultation. And so just to kind of share what it is that we dress in fashion feng shui would explain this.
I'm taking
also
good notes now. I have to go back to my closet and
so
go through all that stuff, you know?
Fashion feng shui really, you know, it's a five-step process. So in that sense, you know, these are really the wisdoms that we want to learn about ourselves. Number one, we want to understand how we make our most fulfilling choices. And that relates to the spirit and to what we call essence in fashion feng shui, and understanding how we can really be authentic with how we dress ourselves. And actually with every lifestyle choice, it just doesn't only have to apply to clothing. It applies to any choice that we make in our life. Once we connect to that spirit part of who we are, our essence, it's where our value system lives, and it's extremely powerful when that happens. Number two is understanding how we can dress for what we want to attract into our lives. So here we are talking about the law of attraction and wearing energies that represent the energies of our desires and our dreams and our goals. And that's really very simple to do by connecting. We just connect the energies of the elements to the colors, shapes, fabrics, and substances that we choose to wear every day. Number three is dressing our appearance. And that's the piece that most people are familiar with, because we've always been told that we're supposed to choose colors that are in harmony with our natural coloring, and clothes will fit us better if they follow the shape of our body, and that's what we teach in fashion feng shui. How do we look at this now from this perspective, and we give it names according to the five elements, so it's easy to understand. But it really has to do with creating good feng shui, that visual harmony of how the clothes look on us and so that they flatter us. Clothes, when we're dressing our intention, when we're dressing to attract what we want in our life, we're really fortifying ourselves. So we have these F words, so to speak, these new F words, we call it, in fashion feng shui. And we also dress to function in any environment, understanding the energy that we are going to be surrounded by. So when we're getting dressed, we can think about who are the people that we're going to be interacting with in a particular, on a particular occasion or event, and dress to bring that energy onto our body so that we're familiar to them and that there's this energetic connection between us. You know, it's very subliminal.
Right.
And, you know, that's, you know, to create, to be appropriate to any environment and to function for any activity.
Right.
It's really important to understand the energies associated with it, and it all just falls right back to understanding, is it a water, wood, fire, earth, or metal energy?
Okay.
And so where am I? I'm at four or five. and then I guess the big piece here is really understanding how to, what we do, what we call synchronizing. Synchronizing all of these pieces together so that everything relates to each other, and that's what really builds that personal style. That's really what gives us our uniqueness, when we can factor in every part of ourselves, mind, body, spirit, and then how we live, how we work, what surrounds us. Feng shui is about connecting to the energy of our environment and living in harmony with it. So
are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. What you have mentioned, something which is fascinating, because some people don't realize that, but people need to be conscious about the way they, how they dress to work and what they are sending out, I guess, signals, like you say, or you know, the, what they look like, and then, of course, or going out, you know, for a family gathering, I guess, seeing potential in-laws or something like that.
Right. It just makes life easier to do that.
and that's, it boils down to the idea of like what you mentioned in your book, dressing with intention. Because what is your intention? If your intention to dress to break up, then hey, go ahead. And if you intend you have an intention of you know, building on something, then you dress in a certain way. And then of course, the idea of creating that energy of embracing energy from the crowd that you're going to be in, the audience you're going to be presenting your situation to, or if you're a speaker and everything else, then you dress in a certain way. And so what I like about that, what you just mentioned, is that Now I have to rearrange my entire closet to to help me out with that. But no, I agree what you're saying, because sometimes we don't pay that much attention, because what we sometimes feel like we want to wear may not be necessarily suitable for a specific situation, wouldn't it? Ivana, are you still there? Hello? I guess we may have, Ivana may be offline right now, I'm not really sure. But anyway, continuing with what I was talking about, fashion feng shui, Ivana, if you can hear me, just call back, and that way I can get you back on the air with me. So if you're hearing me, please just call back, and I'll get you back on the air with me. But coming back to what we talked about just now with Ivana and I, we're talking about dressing for with intention, because how you dress is certainly will speak for how what information you're trying to get across. And so in this particular case, in terms of if you're at work, certainly you're dressing in a different way. And if you are going out socializing, you're dressing in a different way. Ivana, are you back?
I'm back. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I don't know what happened there. I heard you the whole time, but somehow I went off into cyberland.
That's quite all right. That sounds good.
Okay. I'm happy to be back.
good to have you back. And
you.
And that's like I was saying, because I think a lot of times we don't pay as much attention as we should, because we will dress what we think we like, but may not be conducive to the situation that we need to. We need to know the intent. Basically, that's what you're telling me in the nutshell.
Right, and I think I'm not sure if this got transmitted or not, but you know, we just understanding that intent. Sometimes it's just a matter of adjustment. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to mean a big change. It may be a change in color or an addition of a design line or a way that we've accessorized it. It doesn't have to take much to shift the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, what we teach in fashion feng shui, too. Just how do you adjust that surroundings, which is your personal appearance, to be appropriate to what you want, how you want to be seen, how you want to interact, and if we can, I call it mirroring
right.
An environment.
Sure. And well, you do what you're doing is that you are trying to attract, basically.
That's power dressing with intention. That's really what that is all about.
Right.
Knowing that we can, like, you know, energy attracts energy, energy attracts energy, and just by intention is very powerful. It's really when we dress for our intentions, we're really just creating visual affirmations of what we would like to have in our lives.
Right.
And if you are familiar with affirmation work, especially that done by Louise Hay, who I've learned from a lot, she teaches us that we can say them and we can write them, and I teach you that you can wear them.
Right. It's just taking it to the next level, because
right.
This is what you actually putting out there, the energy. Well, what it is right now, the aura is with you. When you write certain things down, fine, but you're putting it off somewhere else. But now wearing it on your sleeve, so to speak, then obviously, you know, you're creating this wonderful aura around you at all times.
You know, they're all probably going to work the same way. They're going to be just as powerful, but if you can do one more thing, why not?
Do you have any some success story that you can share with us?
Oh, let's see. I have a client in the UK who I just worked with actually virtually. We have a virtual consultation program, so if someone wants to work with me and they, you know, personally, they can do so. We do by who I recently worked with, and she came to me about a year ago, and she wanted to do this, and then she said, you know, I don't think I'm ready. And then she showed up a couple of months ago, and she said, I've been working with a life coach, and I'm ready to do this now. So she knew how powerful this was going to be. And we started to work with her, and we were able to uncover her essence, to help her understand that the choices that she was going to make for herself were going to always support her moving forward, her expansion. She was a wood energy individual, and that anything that held her back would be frustrating and create anger in her life. And that helped her see where she had been and that circumstances in her life had been holding her back and this anger had built up. And so we helped her release all that anger and to really be able to dress herself according to that with clothes that would support her wood energy, and it made a huge difference for her. Not only was she able to release what I call this earth energy that had been holding her back, I believe that earth energy is attached to pounds, you know, not money pounds, but weight pounds.
Right.
And when she started, when she released all this earth energy and started moving forward, and we brought in some fire energy to liven her up and get her, you know, to move forward, she started to lose weight. And so far, she's lost about 30 pounds, and this is only in the last couple of months, without dieting, because she has energetically shifted. And to me, this is like a diet with it being able to eat. And it all has to do with energy. And so she started to work with her wardrobe. Then she went to her hair, totally changed the color of her hair and the style of her hair. I connected to her with someone who works with feng shui hair. And now I wouldn't be surprised if she changes her interior decor, which had been supporting more of that previous individual that she had gotten herself into. So it's like in feng shui we say if you hang one crystal, you know, a whole thing, it starts a whole process of transformation. It's the same thing in feng shui, in fashion feng shui, just sometimes doing one little thing, a shift in understanding what our clothes need to be for us, shifts how we see the world and how we react in the world. And then
it's a
our
chain
whole
reaction,
life transforms.
Basically.
It is a chain reaction, absolutely. Because you're taking control of something and you're aware of what you want as a result. And that's what we do work with in fashion feng shui. You know, what do you want? You know, what's the outcome that you'd like to achieve? And that's really being aware of our vision in life. And we all have to know what our vision is in order to move forward.
Now, the what is the expectable, say, reasonable timeline as far as being able to see the results of this sort of transformation once
you
apply
the
transformation?
I've never measured that, so I don't have a definitive answer for you, but I know in the case of this woman, things started shifting immediately. It was almost as if the light bulb went on for her when she discovered who she was at her essence. And I've seen that happen over and over and over again. Because it's immediate empowerment. It's like meeting yourself for the first time or meeting the person who used to be there who had moved out for a while. Then what we do is we give you the tools to get that individual back and to support that individual. It's extremely rewarding, you know, to work, you know, at this level and to see this happen with someone, because it is like the light bulb going off and the light shines through their eyes. And it's just really understanding, how do we line up with the universe? You know, what will we package to become? And just connecting to that, knowing what makes us happy, what makes us fulfilled, is hugely empowering.
You are also an IMMIE award-winning image consultant. Please tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, that's the Emmy Award, which is presented by the Association of Image Consultants International, and it stands for, let's see, it's the most prestigious award in this industry. It stands for Image Makers Merit of Industry Excellence. And I was fortunate to have received this award for the category of innovation in 2000, in the year 2000. And what I loved was that it was presented to me in the city of San Diego, which is where I began my study of feng shui. So I think there was a method to this and that there was a plan, a divine plan all along. And so I'm very proud to have achieved that, because what that award did for me within the image industry was to bring credibility to the work that I was doing, which
sure.
a lot of image consultants at the time thought that was pretty woo-woo.
Right.
And now fashion feng shui really is an accredited, in fact, I'm accredited to teach this through the Association of Image Consultants International. It's an accredited course of study for them.
Right.
And it's really brought a new awareness to that industry of understanding
sure.
that there is a holistic way to approach getting dressed, and it's just not all fluff.
Right. I agree with that because, as we had talked about earlier in the very beginning of the show about something about, you know, some of us gravitate towards certain specific colors that we like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, whether the color is good, bad, or whatever, it has energy of its own. The material that we wear has an energy of its own, and what fashion feng shui to me is, okay, fine, no problem, but if this is what we want to have our intentions out there, then let's do this to sort of enhance this, tone this down, and give you the balance energy that you need to have on a situational basis to get the maximum out of what you intend to get.
Exactly, and when it's the maximum, you know, it's potential. It's
right.
How can we work and attract our highest potential.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're going for in life.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Let's get the most joy and let's live out our potential.
Right. And I know you do a lot of charity work and so forth. Tell us a little bit about your involvement with the working with the poor and homeless women in Boston,
yeah.
Particularly at Rosie's Place.
Well, that's my favorite subject to speak about. Uh-huh. I've been involved with Rosie's Place, which is the nation's first shelter and resource center for homeless women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 30 or 35 years old. I began working there in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
When I came in, I was president of the Association of Image Consultants International's New England chapter. Now, this is before fashion feng shui. I didn't
mm-hmm.
come across feng shui until 1996, as I mentioned earlier. And so I really went in there because we were asked to do a philanthropic project in our local cities.
Mm-hmm.
And someone connected me to Rosie's Place. And at the time, mm-hmm. I thought, well, what are we ever going to do for them? I couldn't imagine how,
right.
you know, how we would be accepted.
Right.
And what I learned was that everyone, no matter what your circumstances, no matter where you are, who you are, what's going on in your life, all our needs are the same,
mm-hmm.
and that we appreciate the same things. And so I started there working with helping them to become aware of their personal appearance and how empowering
mm-hmm.
it could be for them. Although at the time, I didn't know. I didn't have words to express it that I do now because of my understanding of how it all works energetically.
Mm-hmm.
But as I worked with these individuals, and it wasn't just me, I brought in the chapter group,
mm-hmm.
we worked with them. We had a hair salon in there that opened monthly that we would staff for
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
We did makeup. We took them shopping. We showed them how to make clothing choices that
mm-hmm.
worked
mm-hmm.
for who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that really evolved with me as I became more aware of how important image was and why. And I
right.
think it's the why of it, understanding that it's an energetic thing.
Right.
It's not just painting a pretty picture. My work there got deeper, and I started to work with them at a more soulful level and started what I call the empowering the empowerment
mm-hmm.
salon, and we would have the women come in and do all sorts of holistic therapies with them. And once
mm-hmm.
a year, I do a project there called the Love Yourself Project,
mm-hmm.
and it's a day of it's like a holistic expo. We have
mm-hmm.
just a whole group of people come in that do what I call mind, body, spirit
mm-hmm.
pampering for the guests at Rosie's Place. And so on this day, we'll have over 100 women come through who will meet with our exhibitors and
mm-hmm.
get massages and get coaching advice and
mm-hmm.
astrology readings and energy work and just
mm-hmm.
a whole menu of services.
Mm-hmm.
And these women look forward to it all year. And then in between, we do offer various programs. And so it's very exciting to work and to watch them evolve because,
right.
again, people are in these circumstances because they've gotten lost somewhere. Either they have lost touch with or never really connected to their empowering selves, or circumstances have evolved around them that have just spun them out of control.
Right.
So if someone can just take a little bit of control of their life by how the choices that they make in their personal world, their personal appearance, it's again like hanging that crystal and just that one step that starts them off on a road of full empowerment and moving out of the circumstances that they're in.
That sounds fantastic. I think what you're doing is just tremendous with this women. By the way, we are coming close to the end of the show here. We may be off the air in about 30 seconds, but we can continue because it is recorded. And I just want to let those individuals that are listening to our show to please log back in and listen to the podcast. But I do want to continue with a few last-minute comments about certain things and so forth. How can someone get in touch with you and regarding your services and about Fashion Feng Shui?
Well, you can visit our website, www.fashionfengshui.com. That's FashionFengShui.com. And we have all sorts of free things you can download and join our mailing list. And we have a monthly free teleclass that we always invite you to join to just learn a little bit more and be in relationship with us. We love to have lots of friends. So you're welcome to come and learn more and be part of our community.
Fantastic. And anything special coming up for Fashion Feng Shui and you for 2010?
Well, as I said, I'm leaving next Saturday, which is the 9th or 10th for London. I'll be training in London. And then in June, the beginning of June, New England School of Feng Shui is sponsoring a training in Connecticut for those who might be interested in attending. And you can attend either as what I call a personal enrichment student and come for a day of Fashion Feng Shui, just the workshop, or you can take the professional course. So we always open our trainings to both levels. And so you can find that information on my website, fashionfengshui.com.
Fantastic. And one last thing, a last question for you. Do you have a recipe for living for all our listeners this morning?
Well, I would just say that if you can think it, you can be it. I truly believe in the power of attraction, but it all starts with really visualizing what it is that you would want in your life. And I also believe that the universe is kind, and it doesn't arrive as a thought in your head if it's not possible to become a reality. So I just want people to trust their vision and trust their desires because they're there for a reason.
That's fantastic. I wrote that down, actually, the first time when you mentioned it early in the show. So I really appreciate that, and I'm glad that that is your recipe for living, which is wonderful. And to all our listeners, thank you for being with us this morning. Please join me next Tuesday morning. The topic will be Empower American Children. My guest will be Candace Henry. She's the founder of the nonprofit organization Empower American Children. We will be discussing how to create opportunities for kids by igniting their imagination so that they will become dream builders for the future. And for additional information about this show, future shows, and for my weekly recipes for living, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Twitter/FMMK Talk Radio. Thank you for listening and have a great week. And Ivana, thank you again for being on my show and have a great day.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.